Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Gallant View Rangers podcast. My name's Colin and I'm delighted to be back with you all speaking about a splendid result as Rangers absolutely hammered Hibs, the Blue Blizzards we can call it since there was snow, 4-1 at Easter Road. Probably one of the more positive pods we're going to have in a wee while, so I've got an absolute cheery lineup. First of all, Davy T, the beacon of sunshine that he is, joining us from Germany. How are you, mate?
Oh, wait till the two old grumpy guys get started. We'll bring it down a level. No, absolutely great. Thoroughly enjoyed last night. I think everybody did. Totally. It just looks like a new team was out playing. Just so quick and so, yeah, get into them type of football. And really enjoyed it. Great.
Here to hopefully offset the grumpiness, young Andy. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, mate. Yeah. I started last week, my first podcast, and a bad note after the old firm loss, but really kicked into a new gear last night, and am I happy? Do I look happy? Well, don't ask me stupid questions, then. You know, it's good to always get one over the highbies, you know, knocked them down a wee peg, and in spectacular fashion.
Yeah, speaking of debuts, that's Bill in the comments as well saying hello. It was a hard graft for you two last week coming on after an Old Firm defeat. Probably you more so because you've had 4 or 5 days to think about it over in your head. But nice to see you back on after a win. Here to make it four guys just with a sheer unadulterated get it up your Hibs. Davey P, how are you?
Smashing, Colin. Yeah, I mean, last night was the best of the season. This second half, I mean, my concern was that we would not continue, you know, the first half into the second half, but we did. In fact, we would even get better. It was cheering out loud moments at the TV.
Absolutely, and it gave me some quite a restraint. Obviously, I was in the press box last night, and I had to revert back to the polite gentleman golf clapping, but the fire in my belly was roaring. But we will get into it. Last but not least, hello to all the listeners watching live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Good to see you as always. As always, get your comments into the comment section. Crawley Arms, obviously, we've launched all our members' pages this week, and if MD missed it, for members only, we have the 10 questions with Morris Ross went live on Wednesday, and also we've still got the daily news pods every morning as well, Monday to Friday. Last night was a buzz getting in to the press box, seeing Rangers just day hangs. That's where the pods were trying to get more and more of that going, so if you can, you know, support us by either following, liking, or even subscribing for £1 a month. It's much appreciated. So I'll stop kissing our own arses and just get into the football. Davy T, I'm going to come to you first. I'll let you get your angry old man out, but we're not going to spend too much time on this. Rangers did actually go down yesterday. Thought Hibs started full of life. Obviously, a bit of buzz about them after. Well, Easter Road was full of emotion. It was a nice tribute to Ron Gordon, and Hibs really responded to that, put Rangers under a bit of pressure the first 4 or 5 minutes. But the goal for me was criminal. Long ball in for a deep free kick. That boy Hop, he's lost his man, and no one was anywhere near him. You were probably closer to marking him in the middle of Europe. Come here, and a ball across, and Golson just puts it in his own net. We don't see too many on goals, but time and time again, we do see Rangers players losing their man in the box.
Yeah, Colin, the fact was, and I'll get my grumpy bit out of the way first of all, the fact was there was 8 Rangers players in there and there was 4 Hibs players. The whole attack, there was only 4 Hibs players. They only sent 4 players up, and they stood there. There was 3 at the back, and we had Zarwood Henry at the back. They were all standing. Ryan Jack was the last man. He was picked up with the number 4. But what the number 4 done was he dragged Ryan Jack with him when he was started moving in. So the referee could, I suppose, blow for that. But in corners, everybody's blocking everybody. But then the guy just sort of walks away. Raskin standing doing nothing. In front of the box, Cholak standing doing nothing. Cantwell standing doing nothing. No marking anybody. And as I say, 3 Hibs players at the back. Rangers players have given 6 at the front. No marking anybody. And the guy just toddles around the back of it, walks away from everybody. And he's got about, 5-6 yards to start to get the ball at his foot. Cross it, put it across. And there's the one thing that we're all taught at school. No, everybody can do it. It's kick with their left foot if they're right-footed. Connor Golson tried to kick it with his right foot instead of putting his left foot. He puts his left foot onto it. The ball goes in its natural direction. But he tried to kick it away with his right foot, and the ball goes into the net. And, terrible defending. Terrible, terrible defending. And I don't know. We were supposed to have a corner expert come in. Did we know it? It was one of the backroom staff, not a corner expert. Well, I don't know what he's teaching them, but certainly not the right way.
He's teaching them how to trophy corners, to be fair. It's just, he must hate defending. A bit of Mark Warburton-esque, as long as we score more than we concede, then what's the hassle? But no, you're right. And this isn't a new thing. That's probably why it's more frustrating. Set pieces, we've not been great at defending them for the last 18 months, and there's no sign of that improving anytime soon.
Yeah, it's funny, in the 55 year, we had only lost any goals from set pieces in the 55 season. I don't know what sort of, all of a sudden sort of brought this in. But hopefully we'll get it right sometime. And we need to do something, because we're getting a goal behind not every game, but a lot of games before we can even start to think about going forward. And we can't keep that up. We've got to stop that sometime.
And absolutely, and one of our members, Cammy Kay, he's saying, on the other hand, mistakes were few and far between, and only one has crossed it, crossed Rangers. Andy, that's a very good point. It's been a long time since I've seen Rangers react like that to going to go down. It's like the good old days where if a team scored against Rangers, it just pissed them off. I thought this goal did spark Rangers back in their life, and the more that first half went on, they just grew more and more into the game, didn't they?
Aye, actually reminded me of Michael's first game in charge, because we went behind quite early against Hibs at Ibrox, and then we went and hunted an equaliser down. I think it was Sakala, nice driven effort across the keeper, and then we could see straight away again. But I think we went in behind at half time 2-1 that game, but it was a kind of feeling that, okay, they're wanting to right that wrong. We were quite unfortunate with the 2 goals we conceded it in that first game, but there was a hunger, and that's good. I want the players to have that kind of bite, the hunger about them. It looked like a team that, yeah, the COVID season in 55, it looked that they had that bit of swagger about them, like, you know, we're Rangers, It doesn't matter. They might score one, but we can easily go score 4, 5, 6. They're just another team to walk over. They might get one. Ironically, we bring in a set piece coach, Harry Watling. I thought, well, that's a good wee addition to the coaching squad. It looks like we're doing a wee bit better in terms of going for an attacking headers for attacking corners, but defending, yep, set pieces are still a bit shaky. I'm sure they'll maybe swing it around and say, well, technically we scored from that set piece, so if you want to look at it that way, we did a great job, but unfortunately it doesn't go into our side of the scoreboard, it goes for theirs.
I don't know how much that would have flew with Golton trying to justify himself to Michael Beale at half time. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that conversation. Davey P, I think Rangers energy and Rangers drive, we're going to come here a lot of players and a lot of partnerships tonight, but for me it all starts in the middle of the park. Ryan Jack was outstanding, and I think him and Nicola Rashin had a solid partnership. You'd think they were playing together for years. What was your thoughts on the midfield duo last night?
They were superb, both of them. Just compliment one another. Ryan Jack was possibly, you know, my man of the match. I thought Todd Cantwell was superb as well, as was Raskin. I thought, you know, throughout the team, we were eights and nines. It was just a joy to watch that game, and it was all the way through. Obviously, they had the chance in 3 minutes. They eventually got the goal in 5, 6 minutes, whenever it was. And then pretty much after that, I think they had one shot on target the whole game. So I think we just put the goal in context, you know, over the match as a whole. Obviously, it's not the best start. But Rangers then, after that, just annihilated them. It was, I ended up singing, I'm not known for, to be honest. So we took them apart. It was just great. The midfield, the second goal, I mean, and we'll come on to A, because is that not... There's one for them to review and say, this is how it's done. Wins the ball in the midfield, pings it to Kent. Kent gives it to Sakala. Sakala knocks it over. So we're 4 or 5 touches away from winning it in the midfield to the ball going in the net. It was, that's how to do it. You know, just more like that, please.
And that's the thing for me. There was more energy in the middle of the park, which obviously helps. We've seen against Celtic that we were just so slow and we were 2 yards off the opposition all times. There was a bit more legs about Jack and Rashin, but it wasn't just out of possession, in possession. They moved the ball so quickly. And it wasn't wildy passes. It was basic 10-yard passes at times, but they just recycled the ball so, so well. Before we touch on the goals and that, then I do want to open up the conversation a bit about Ryan Jack, because there was a good bit of chat in our group chat today. Get all your thoughts on it. David T, I'll start with you. Ryan Jack, do you give him another year?
For his ability, definitely. I've said it in the pod. Ryan Jack, when he's fit, is the best midfielder we've got, and I'm even going to include Raskin and Cantwell in that. Ryan Jack on his game is just a brilliant midfielder. And I know one of the big things, the snobbery about Rangers supporters a lot, that I read out a lot, is that we can't get goodbyes from Scottish teams. Well, Ryan Jack proves that wrong. And it's a gamble, but the way I'm thinking, I think, and I said it last week as well, I think the whole midfield needs cleared out, and that's including Lundstrom and all the older ones, and Cody Jack at that time as well. Kamara needs to go. So that's my on it. I think Jack is given himself, if he can get fit, he's given himself where I might think, okay, maybe we can offer him a 1-year contract, and a year-by-year contract, and look what he does, and see if he's going to be injured or if he's going to keep playing. But on his game, he's a fantastic player, and it would be great to have him for another year anyway.
Andy, there's a couple of mixed comments coming in, which it probably defines my torment with this question. So Teddy Bear calling out, Jack was great, but can we trust him to stay fit for a full year? But then Italian Scotsman saying, having Jack as an option for another year would be brilliant. I don't know how much value Ryan Jack can add next season, based on how often he'll be available. Absolutely, it's not the first time we've seen him come back from injury and absolutely dominate the game on talent, on ability, on attitude, all the stuff that we are lacking in the midfield. He's there, but can he stay fit? And what's your thoughts on it?
Well, again, I'd like just to say what David T is saying. I think he's one of the best signings we've made from another Scottish club, and it was not just for the banter levels alone of stealing Aberdeen's captain off them, but he's a top player. He's seen that Steven Gerrard gives him top praise from most of the games he was as a manager that he played under him. And to get praise from Steven Gerrard, especially when you're a midfielder yourself, is top praise. There's no that you can question his heart, his drive, his effort for the club. Anytime he puts in the blue jersey, it looks like it is his last game for Rangers, which is almost scary given the fact that half the injuries he gets half the time, you worry that could be his last game. I think for me, given the fact I look at the midfield a lot, that's the thing. We've actually got a decent position where with players in the last 6 months or so now, under the last 6 months of the contract, that we have a wee bit of freedom to say who we don't want. Because it is, this in football, it's harder than times to actually get rid of players than it is to bring in players if they're stuck with longer contracts. We have the freedom of saying, well, we're just not going to renew. I think looking at if between a Stephen Davis or a Ryan Jack, you know, they're two different style players potentially, but both of them are out of contract in the summer. If you're going to give one, it has to be Ryan Jack, which pains me because I love Stephen Davis. He was my hero growing up. But I think 31 years old, I was just checking that to be sure. I think there's something like a 6 year gap between Davis and Jack. He's 31. He's not the spring chicken anymore, but I think he's worth the gamble. It's still, as it always is, a gamble. You're not going to get him 100% of the time because the way Scottish football is, sometimes it's easier to manage players that have a wee injury doubt in other countries, but with the way Scottish football is, especially also with plastic surfaces, you don't want to risk some players. I think there was a whole thing when we got in John Flanagan, he was just not allowed to play in plastic pitches because of the nature of his injury history. But I think as long as we can maybe sort out the doctors with the silly charmers behind the scenes that are telling us they're fit when they're made of glass, I think it's worth a shot, because you can always guarantee the effort he gives you.
DVP, a lot of comments coming in about like who do we get ready and who we need to move on, and like Lundstrom and Kamara are kind of falling into that conversation. And for me, I think a big part of it is what you do need to look at, how many players have we got to get ready. Arfield's out of contact as well. Davis, I think both of them are unlikely to sign. I think Kamara will move on. So you're kind of left with, like, in the kind of engine room, Rashton, Lundstrom and Ryan Jack. And I would still want two players in to join them, but I think to keep the heartbeat and the cohesion of the team, if we could get even 20 games out of Ryan Jack next season. I've been one for time and time again in the pod. We don't need 25 players to play 90 minutes, 60 games a season, but we just need players to be able to add value, like at different stages of the season and when they come on, whether that's for starting the game here and there or like 5 minutes off the bench. Where do you land on it?
I think we need to bring more midfielders in. You're right. I mean, Kamara's gone. Stephen Davis, if he recovers from his injury, I don't see him returning to first team football, other than, you know, just a swan song to say bye bye. I just can't see that happening, because I think they would have. He was possibly going to be cut anyway, and I think having a big grown up conversation with him. But in terms of Ryan Jack, I mean, Ryan Jack, the club would have to make some sort of assessment. You know, clearly he's, when he's on his game, and you saw last night, I mean, maybe it's not Ryan Jack we need, it's a new Ryan Jack. It's someone who's going to bring those attributes to the team. So it's maybe not necessarily him. If we feel it's too high a risk, you know, to do 20 games when we're playing 60 games a season, You know, we're not getting that value. So I think the recruitment team need to have a look at replacing him with something, you know, maybe even an upgrade. You know, Ryan Jack 2.0 is what we need. Not necessarily the Ryan Jack. We need someone to play that role. Whether it's him or whether it's not him, that's a decision for the management. So I think there will be a clear out. There's going to be you can see some of them are edging towards the door. Kamara, Alfredo Morelos, you know, which will break our hearts, mine anyway. But you can see that, and Michael Beale made a comment in the press conference today about, you know, alluding to, you know, changing the structure. And we've got games, so we need to just keep going with what we know and what they know and what we're familiar with. But kind of, he's alluding to there are bigger structural changes up the road. So he may want something else other than Ryan Jack. So there are a few variables in here, which we some unknowns, which we don't know about. So depending on what that looks like, I'm sure the recruitment team will be penciling your names on a list at the moment. So I hope there will be big changes. You know, we're going to see 8, 9, 10 turnover of players in that squad, and there'll be replacements we'll brought in, and where they fit in the team, which Michael Beale has obviously got penciled in for the future. Who knows? It's all a bit of conjecture. Ryan Jack certainly last night just shows you what he can do, but as to whether he's a long-term solution, I'm not so sure.
And again, we probably went off on a bit of a tangent there, but I think it's definitely, these are conversations we need to be having. Well, not in the Royal We for guys in the NAFB podcast, but Ross Wilson, Michael Beale, we need to be talking about like what's happening for next season now. We can't wait to the 1st of June and say, oh, we should maybe go look for a player. We do need to be planning for that now. Back onto the game then, and again, the reason we ended up in this was Ryan Jack and Rashan were the heartbeat of the Rangers team, in my opinion, yesterday. And what they've done so well is they got the ball moving side to side, back to front quickly, and it really helped the fullbacks get into the game and their attackers. So, David P, I'll stick with you, then I'll move around everybody. First, I'll give you a shotty and some first here. Rangers first goal, Ryan Kent getting to the byline again. His shooting was terrible yesterday, but I thought time and time again, as an out ball, getting Rangers up the pitch, he was great. Rangers were given the most penaltiest of penalty ever, but it wasn't straight away by Don Robertson. He took the shitebag approach and let VAR make the decision for him, and then a lovely penalty for Tav. But on Ryan Kent in particular, what was your thoughts on his involvement in the goal and in general yesterday?
Oh, you're right, Ryan Kent. I thought Ryan Kent kind of over his touch was heavy. It's the first touch, which kind of knocked it further into the box than I think he would have intended. So he ended up, you know, being closer to the touchline, which meant that he then had the chop back. But the guy's certainly caught his foot, dragged him away. He's on the deck. Penalty all day long, and Don Robertson, and you see from the camera from behind the goal, from where the away fans, the Rangers end was, and you see the perfect view of this. How he cannot call that out as a penalty kick is quite worrying, to be honest, that he's not prepared to make that decision, knowing full well that it's probably referred. He's just passing the buck. I would hope that they would be he would be taken to task for that, because certainly the view from behind the goal, he was on the edge of the box, so he was no more than, 10 yards from that? Perfect view. Couldn't have been better positioned, and just refused or wouldn't make the decision. Shocking. It was a stonewall penalty. I mean, as the replay showed, and then Don Robertson agrees with us now that he's seen the replay. When he saw it, you know, far closer in real life, and didn't act on it, which I think is a worrying sign for referees.
David T, James Tavernier steps up, and he, calm as you like, puts the penalty by. I think maybe a year ago, 18 months ago, we were starting to question his penalties, but he's been good at them, and over the last maybe 6 months or so. I think there's only one that I can remember that he's missed. He lights that side, then he lights putting it to the keeper's right, but he puts it high and hard. And I mean, David Marshall's a good keeper. There was no chance he was getting that. Cool as you like for James Tavernier.
Yeah, it's always into the side net, and he always seems to get it, doesn't he? It's absolutely brilliant. Can I just go give the referee a wee bit of breathing room on this? Because I actually didn't think it was a penalty at first, to be honest with you. And for a simple reason, that if you weren't watching the guy's foot, the way Ryan Kent went down, it was in sort of a slow motion he went down. And if you're just watching his upper body, then I can imagine that at that moment, you didn't give that penalty. So that's just a wee breath of the referee. But I know a lot of people all disagree with me in that, but that's the way I saw it. Tavernier, he's brilliant. I must admit, I didn't like, he was starting to go down the middle far too often. And I think it was Aberdeen goalkeeper, wasn't it, that saved the penalty from him not so long ago, trying to go down the middle. And it was just a matter of time before somebody actually stood and waited for the ball down the middle, because he was doing it far too often. And now he's back to his old ways, putting it into the corner. And I think in a couple of penalties, maybe the next one, he'll put it into the other side, because he's just as good at putting it on the other side as well. But it's okay putting one down the centre now and again. But as I say, I would have been sitting waiting for a penalty down the middle from him a couple of weeks ago, and that's just what happened. But I don't think you can. I mean, every great player misses a penalty, and he'll miss in the future again. But he's absolutely brilliant at taking them. That's 97 goals, I think it is. He's got something like that. Unbelievable.
Aye. We've lost your. Oh, lost your sound there slightly. That was just my stream freezing. Just before I come to you, Andy, apologies that my comments weren't coming through quite as quickly as they should have. I can see there's a Cammy. He's gifting a few memberships to some of the listeners, getting them signed up. Thanks very much. Really, really appreciate the support. Just want to give you a shout out on the pod. We've added about 25% of our members in the space of half an hour, so do really appreciate you guys supporting the podcast. It goes a long way. Andy, last word on James Tavernier. I'll open up to Tavernier and Barisic, actually. I thought they were much more involved in the game yesterday than they have been in recent weeks. And again, I don't want to keep on harping back to the midfield. Midfield did allow that, but I thought they both were put in solid displays.
Yeah, I'd agree there. To go just a last word on the kind of penalty. First of all, I looked at it the first time. My dad was sitting close at the telly and went, "Ah, I don't know about that one." I thought the way that Ryan Kent got up, I compare it to the penalty we got across the city against Hearts, which was overturned for a dive by VAR. I thought when Kent went down, he kind of went, "Okay," but this last night when he went down, it was like, are you being serious? Are you not even going to consider it as a penalty? He honestly looked like a madman. I thought he was going to run straight up to the ref. But VAR does its job, and then Tav does what Tav does, to quote David Middlefinger Martindale. Barisic, I've always been a big fan of Borna Barisic. I know he gets a lot of slack, especially from around where I sit at Ibrox. There's a good few in the pitchforks and the any time Borna passes the ball back. I have to say, especially if down Tavernier's side, I always thought if we've got a solid midfield player in there, which is usually Ryan Jack down Tav's side, Tav feels a wee bit less pressure on him, where he needs to worry about if I get caught out. Whereas if he knows Jack's there, I think he just feels the freedom. With Barisic, it's good that he continues to get forward. He did what I never thought I'd see him do, is he faced up the man and then he took on to his weak foot, which it was honestly, my jaw hit the floor. I had never seen him shape up on his right foot. He's always the left foot. I chop up to just all the players having a wee bit extra confidence last night and a wee bit extra drive. You know, I felt any one of them could have, if they gave them the ball, they could have scored. They all can, and they all wanted to score. That's the good thing. Like, I think Connor Goldson took the ball from a throw-in and drove past a couple of Hibs players in the late stages of the game. And I think I chop up the ball now in the Tav situation as just a wee bit of extra confidence last night. I don't know if it was a case of they fed off the atmosphere just as much as the Hibs players did at the start, and the kind of we're going to shut yous up kind of way that we've got nobody with us apart from our own fans and our teammates, so we're just going to go and silence the doubters, which I'm happy to see something like that happening. I think they do have there was always a confidence issue, I feel, and I thought it doesn't help with the whole questioning of the would we have won 55 with the fans in the stadium. It fuels that argument, which I don't like, because I think that season was just brilliant. But this season, especially when a few results went bad under the old manager, it did look like most of them wanted to just find a hole and hide in it. But hopefully that's the good times coming back with a wee bit more confidence in the 11 players.
Definitely, and seeing that hunger to get in the score sheet, and bear in mind, Rangers had 31 attempts in goal yesterday, and even when we go to 3-4 up, we were still hungry for more. It's been a long time since we've seen that determination. I'll stick with you, Andy, give you first crack at this point. Just on that driving determination, Fashion Sakala, I want all three of your takes on him. Obviously, he was heavily involved as the MVP alluded to for the second goal, picking up the ball for Kent, getting to the byline, brilliant ball across for Čolak, and then he actually picks up the ball for the third goal, a good header for Ryan Jack, picking up a poor David Marshall clearance into the feet of Fashion Sakala, so composed, and there's no something we say too often with Sakala, brilliant touch and then finish. What was your thoughts on him last night?
Fashion Sakala, you could write a book on him. He's an enigma, because you look at him some days and you go, where did we find this guy? And did he honestly think he was good at football? And then the next day you look at him and you go, Jesus Christ, this guy could be £100 million player. I said, I was at work during the Kilmarnock game and I caught some pieces.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Of him taking on a guy and the final ball isn't brilliant, or the amount of times he has a one-on-one and you think, That's a goal. I think he actually had one. Well, if I can remember correctly, had a one-on-one where he knocked the ball behind the Hibs player and he was just driving. And instead of cutting in front of the Hibs player to get a shot, he stayed wide and he ended up getting the ball stuck between his legs. I don't know what it is. He does the hard stuff like brilliantly, but some of the basics go askew. I always say about the Dundee United volley, the kind of the one where Jack kind of dinks it in behind and he takes it first time. That's a very difficult finish. And the swivel on the Hibs player, he sent him to the shops. I honestly thought the way when he isn't in that kind of, I'm going to score a worldie, the easy chances, I was chopping that as an easy chance. He'll just try and hit it in his right foot first time. But he doesn't, he sells the defender some PPI and then he just slots it home, easy days. So it's a better's nightmare, because you never know what you're going to get with him. You would see a goal one day and then he'll put it in Rose Ed the next day.
DVP, you can hear the frustration in Andy's voice here, and it's a frustration we all share with Fashion Sakala, with Fashion Sakala's got to turn up. It's all shit, Jerry, all shite, and that's we can say this about 100 different attributes for 100 different players, but if they have X, Y, and Z, they won't be at Rangers. If Fashion Sakala can find composure consistently, it wouldn't be at Rangers, but I think he is, the more he plays under Michael Beale, the more he is starting to add his own personality and his own stamp into the team, isn't he?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and we discussed it about Fashion, you know, because you don't know what you're going to get with Fashion. But he seems to be taking on board what he's been taught at the training ground, you know, what he's, obviously the moves, you know, you can see he's a wee bit more aware, you know, of the offside. David T will be glad to hear that Fashion seems to, the penny seems to have dropped. He certainly, you can see he's more conscious of that. But, I mean, for you whippersnappers, you know, you two young guys will probably won't remember this, but David will. Well, they used to be.
Can I just say, it's fucking brilliant having Andy on the pod, man. like, you know, I'm no the baby of the pod anymore. It's I feel like I'm joining you boys in the fucking old balcony with the Muppets.
But there used to be on Question of Sport, they would play, you know, passages of play of various sporting events, and they would stop it, and then they would say, what happened next? You know, they were usually kind of famous clips, and you would say, oh, he crossed the ball, he hit it in, he hit it out the ground for a six, whatever. So there used to be that was the element. And I think we could resurrect this for Fashion Sakala, because when the ball comes to Fashion and it gets to him, you've got to try and guess what happens next, because with Fashion, it's almost impossible. I think, as Andrew's just alluded to, when that ball gets played to from Ryan Jack, I think 99 out of 100 forwards, he would have just struck it with the right foot. Just, you know, he's got a shot away and goal, and Fashion went the other way and completely wrong-footed the guy, and then got a strike on goal with his left foot. I mean, if you were in the Question of Sports studio and you say Fashion then scores from his left with his left foot from what happened next, you would never have got that. And that's Fashion for you. I thought he was very good yesterday. His commitment, energy, absolutely second to none. The guy, sometimes, you know, it's going to end up in Rose Ed. And he seems to, he must be a nightmare to play against. An absolute nightmare, because I'm not sure his teammates have any idea what Fashion will do next. So Christ knows what the opposition think. But he is, he's certainly value for money. I mean, I think he had a goal and two assists last night. So I thought the Rangers forwards, Big Tony and Ryan Kent, who continues to kind of let me down a wee touch in terms of strikes and goal, you know, and goal scoring opportunities, because he'd certainly lots of the ball, but he made his contribution last night. The players were buzzing about just the energy that the Rangers played with last night. And see, when we got to the start of the second half, which probably will come on to, Rangers were superb at this point. Superb.
Absolutely. Some of the best football we've seen since the last time we played in Edinburgh. And I've seen a few listeners say, let's just play the Scottish Cup final in Murrayfield on a Wednesday night. Davey is right that Rangers were sublime in the second half. And I'm not saying that lightly, because Rangers have pissed me off more than once this season. Good to see them. Good to see them actually going for the juggler, as we said. We've been speaking about Fashion Sakala there, and I think he really is enjoying a bit of freedom up front. Under Van Bronckhorst, we had fixed positions out in the wing, had to hug the byline, which can work if the tactics are right, but it didn't work for our players. Sakala is really enjoying the movement and freedom he's getting alongside Kent. But what's really interesting is there's a bit of a duel going on between Sakala and Colak. They're linking up so well. What was your thoughts in seeing they two together? And obviously, three out of the four goals came for one of they two.
Well, Beale actually let something slip yesterday in one of his interviews. He talked about it's good having two up front or something like that. So I think he's actually changed the team. And the way I was looking at it yesterday, Ryan Kent was actually playing in the middle as well. So it was more the forward line was a 1-2 with two forwards and Ryan Kent behind them. So I think we've totally changed the way. The thing with last night was the hunger to get the ball back. And I'm going to say, we've talked about Raskin and we've talked about Jack, but I'm going to say Cantwell as well. When Cantwell came in, I thought, oh, this is going to be one of these wee guys with tights on that doesn't get near a tackle. But he's proved me totally wrong in that.
You and half a follow, by the way. There were several threads slating him.
Yeah. And he's like a wee tiger, isn't he? He just gets in about them. And I mean, yesterday I think it was on his backside, and he still get the ball away from him, four different players, and it was absolutely he's brilliant. The will to get the ball back, and that's what we were missing under Gio. But I'm still going to say, for me, the biggest thing with Gio was that the players just weren't fit. And I think if you're not fit, you've not got confidence. And it's the fitter you get, you can just see the Rangers are getting fitter every week. And Hibs couldn't live with us yesterday. They just couldn't live with us. And that, for me, that's a big difference. And well, now if we keep going like this, then I have every confidence that we'll be putting out a far better run in for the league next year than we will have done this year.
Just on Cantwell, I actually thought for the first 10-15 minutes he was a bit wasteful with the ball, and he should have done better for the free kick that we gave away to concede the first goal. But after that, he's just joined in the whole attitude of, fuck it, let's start playing football. Even at one point in the second half, he was on his arse and Hibs shouldn't get the ball off him. He had a couple of good balls in as well, and Borna Barisic had a great effort there for a good Cantwell ball. But I agree with you, Davey. He added, I can't really fault MD on the pitch, maybe apart from Alan McGregor, who didn't do anything last night.
Can I just, you mentioned the Borna Barisic shot there. Can I just say, what a save from the keeper. That was unbelievable save. Because yeah. Barisic, he really hit that full throttle. And the keeper, what was it, from 4 yards or something like that? And the keeper managed to get his hands up. Absolutely brilliant save. I'll give Marshall that one.
Aye, definitely. Back on to Čolak, Andy. Obviously, a lovely finish for the second goal, getting to the front post, which he does like doing. That's what I like about Čolak. He can go either way, go back post. He makes defenders think, and then for the fourth goal, just an instinctive finish. We've seen that time and time again for him. I've said this the last few times in the pod, what I love about Čolak right now, he's adding more to his game. He's not just a goal scorer. He's so much more involved now.
Yeah, my age growing up, my first Croatian striker that I experienced was Dado Pusso. Only for a short time, I was still quite young, but looking back, it starts to make sense why my dad used to get me Pusso 9 in the back of my tops when I was a wee boy. Then, of course, we get Nikica Jelovic. Again, that was another superb Croatian striker, and we found another one with Tony Goals. At the start of the season, I have to say, David T, before the start of the podcast, was saying that he has scored a lot more goals than you would think. It's hard to not just say, oh, he's just brilliant, because he just is. I'm such a big fan of him. I think, to be honest, I was being a bit harsh. I think a lot of Rangers supporters have been a wee bit harsh. When Beal came in, he was coming back from an injury. So when we first started to see him playing in what the Morelos role would be of the striker that drops deep, striker that holds up the ball, I don't think we were seeing the best of Čolak because of that injury. Now we're seeing him at his best, and he's performing exactly what we want him to be doing. For him in fashion, I liked a wee moment in the Kilmarnock game at Ibrox, where I think it was Čolak squared one to Sakala and he sclaffed it, and then it was the other way around. And when they celebrated the goal, eventually it was just Sakala and Čolak just going and just having a wee word in each other's ears and going, right, if you're there, I'll give you the ball. See, that's how we'll play a wee link there, and I'm enjoying the wee kind of partnership we're getting. And it was evident last night. I mean, Hibs were just, I don't know if they could, they might wake up and actually see one of them at the bottom of the bed. They're that scared. They're just, they were an absolute handful. And again, just if we're looking to next season, if we're going to be losing Alfie, then I'm sure, I don't want to say we're in safe hands, because then we're only going to be having Tony Goals and injury Croc Kamar Roof. I think we do need another striker in there, but I think Antonio needs to be the starter going forward, especially if Morelos is not going to be here, then you need to get him in as much game time under this the new management, to get him up to speed, make sure he is feeling it with these partners. If it's going to be Kent and Fashion next season, if we're going to have Fashion but not Kent next season, especially if it's not going to be that, and it's going to be only Fashion and Cholak, especially if, and again, especially if it is a two up front with them as the kind of the two and one behind in the attacking midfielder, then you do need to be working that partnership, giving it a lot of game time.
No, absolutely, and it's, you mentioned there just about how they were reacting, how they were speaking to each other, and I do look for the non-tangible side of the game and stuff like that, and I find that does speak volumes of how that team is progressing. It was almost like Pershaw and Novo, like how they used to just really connect with each other when they first started getting going playing. David, you got to come in there.
Can I just say, see that goal that Cholak scored? He made a run to the back post first, and then he made a run to the front post. If that was Morelos just donned it, just sort of jogs to the back post, he would have never have made that run. And that, it's great to see a striker make a run like that, because it just shows you that he's thinking about what he's doing and not just hoping.
Aye, and when we call him a poacher, it is a big disservice, because he is so clever and they're starting to show that. And even like you've seen him time and time again last night, coming deep and linking up again. I like when we attack through different channels. There was times where he was coming deep and Kent and Sakala were getting beyond him. There was times where he was playing on the edge, going front post, back post. It just makes defenders think, and it's hard to defend against.
Yeah, David, we do need to bring in a striker though, if Morelos goes. We can't keep with these two strikers.
We do. David P, I'll bring you in there, because you did allude to it, that Michael Beale at the press conference, he said they have a plan that they want to work on behind the scenes, but they've not quite had the time yet. I think Andy's maybe touched on a point there that might actually see, we see, it might actually be that we see more of two up front. I think that might be what he's alluding to, because he did answer it when he was asked about Antonio Cholak. What's your thoughts?
I think he was quite expansive on his comments about Tony. Antonio, to give him his Sunday name. But he mentioned, you know, that he was injured when he arrived, and that, you know, he's working his way back to fitness. He's got his way back to fitness. But I think which was significant, was for me anyway, was that he kind of commented on Cholak's kind of positive attitude, and his, I think the people in the squad like him. Whereas, you know, I could be going out on a limb here, but I think Alfredo Morelos is a selfish bastard. And I think that
what gives you that idea?
And he's just much more of a team player. And you could see that with your rapport that we Fashion, when Fashion was lifted his head. So as David said, he makes the near post run, and Fashion pings it on to him, one touch goal. That goal was the second goal Rangers scored last night, was fucking superb in a number of ways. But the Sakala across one-touch finish was just the end product from what was really good, you know, from winning it in midfield. So I think maybe just Tony is just a better fit in the squad in terms of his application. You know, he's so enthusiastic. He gives 100%. And I think working with people like that, Christ, it's like any other business, really. You know, when you're working with fucking volunteers rather than huffy bastards, it just makes for a better, you know, all-round feel-good factor. And I think there was an element, you could detect that, I could anyway, from Rangers in the second half when they were beginning to enjoy themselves. They were really top-notch. We were pinging out one-touch stuff, and the Hibs just couldn't get the ball, and they just looked super confident. Ability, it was just all coming together. It was just, and that kind of lasted up until, you know, we had the five-way sub. thing. But from the half time till about the 70 odd minutes, Rangers were unplayable. We just and you could just see that the Todd Cantwell, I think, was probably the most visual of that, because he's in top of his game at this point. You know, you just can't touch me, give me the ball, pinging it about. You know, it's in a couple of wee flicks, and I'm going to say something which is fucking completely outrageous. Was there's just a wee hint of gas going about Cantwell. I mean, clearly they're in terms of the ability of the players, they're in different levels. But see those wee tricks that he does. You know, remember when tricks are for the circus. But he did it on Saturday against Kilmarnock when he played the one. When he knocked off the inside of his leg to pass the ball, and there was a couple of moments last night when you can see this boy's just oozing confidence. So maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I think this boy is capable of great things with us.
I think it's just the character, Todd Cantwell, the gallusness. He's going to be one of these players. He can be playing terrible for 89 minutes and he still fancies himself to do, I don't know, a Cruyff turn and then ping a 30-yarder. He does, and he will be, I dare say, he will be frustrating at times, but you do need those type of players. You do need them to just step up and believe in their own ability when it's getting when we need it. So moving ahead to Sunday then, David, I'll come to you first. We did see the quintuple change last night. Five subs coming on. I think it was Lundstrom, Wright, Arfield, Hadji and Morelos. And what I actually did quite like is it didn't kill the game. I actually thought the subs done quite well. It didn't turn it into a third game or anything. Also, we did drop a wee bit, but we were still hungry for blood. But going up against Raith Rovers on Sunday, Scottish Cup is huge for us this season. We need to win it, no qualms about it. I don't think I would change it for Sunday, barring MD who needs a rest. I think for me, I want to keep the momentum going and I want to take 10 on Sunday. What would you change it?
No, definitely not. We're now so far into competition, and it's a competition that we've really got to win now. So I would put out a best team. If we can manage to get three or four goals up, then you can think about changing the whole system. But can I just have one wee moan before I go further?
You were doing so well.
No, but see this trickster for the circus. I really hate that, because if you can beat a player, then it doesn't matter how you beat him. You can just remember there was a guy done the butterfly kick. I can't remember the guy's name now. That we got on loan for a while. In the very first game he played, he done one of these butterflies.
On loan from Spurs.
Okay.
Mark Robert, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
If you can do that, why the heck can you, if you can beat a player by doing that flick, why can you not do it? The whole of Scotland was up in uprage that a player had tried that. I can't believe that. If you can beat a player by doing that, you should be allowed to do it. I can imagine there's some tricks that you can't do. I mean, there was a guy called the Seal or something like that. He could put a ball in his head and he could run right round with him. I can imagine that you can't do that. But if you can just be a flick over somebody's head, I don't see why you can't use that. Anyway, that's that wee moan over. to go back, no, I wouldn't change things. I might try and change things. I mean, we don't know what's happened to Lowry. Is he injured again, or is he
still just injured? He'll be another 2 weeks.
Okay. Is that Rangers 2 weeks or a normal 2 weeks?
a Jordan Rossiter 2 weeks.
Aye, he'll be 30 by the time he's back.
No, I would just keep the same team and get them better to know each other, especially Raskin and Cantwell. Definitely keep them in the team, and maybe some of the players that are injured. But, I mean, Suter, I would certainly give Suter more game time. I think I don't think I would start him right enough, but I would certainly give him more game time. And my hope would be get three or four up, and then change.
Aye, and Teddy Birch is crawling out. Yilmaz, good to see him back playing for the Rangers B team on Wednesday alongside John Souter as well. Some minutes. Andy, what's your thoughts on Sunday? Again, I don't want to state the obvious, and the four of us all say how important it is. We know that. That really annoyed me last night, by the way, when I was trying to get a word in Michael Beale on the press conference, and some dick for the Herald is just like, oh, how important is the Scottish Cup? What kind of fucking question is that to ask a manager? It's like asking, are you happy you won today? Anyway, that's my rant over, and we're all getting one out, but back to my initial question, Andy. Do you foresee any changes, or you with David T keep the same team, get four up, and then start getting people on?
Well, look at Partick Thistle. I think they made some changes in that one. And as we know, it didn't go to plan for most of the game, and it was a lot harder than it needed to be. I think I have to admit, if things stay the same and the fitnesses, and we get a wee bit of injury luck, we're not getting as bad as injuries as we had at the start of the season, then I think you could see a similar team to the one we got last night all the way until the end of the season. It's one of those when you look at the tweet coming out with the lineup and you go, that's your best squad. It feels like, I would say that's probably your best squad. I don't see, you could argue Yilmaz when he gets back fit, you want to see what he does compared to Barisic. But in terms of form, I'd say that's our best squad. I think Sunday would be, if we could get the same kind of effort and commitment levels as we got last night, it's Sunday, and it could be goals galore, firstly. But I'd like to see if Todd Cantwell could get his first goal in Sunday, that would just give him a wee bit extra of, right, it's off the back, the monkey's off the back. So I feel that's the only thing he's really missed. Because the corner Goldson goal at Killie, where it was Cantwell hit the first shot, came back to him and he flung himself at it, made all the effort he could get to actually strike the ball the second time, and obviously it then fell to Goldson. I just think, see if he could get a goal, that would be rocket fuel for him. I think just having that, well, there you go, actually, monkey off the back, and we'll go from here. He'll be a big sale, hopefully, in the future for us. It's about enjoying it whilst it lasts.
I want the Rangers players to have the same determination. And I know it's probably not the most glamorous attack compared to the game at Easter Road, but see, the Rangers players were just lining up to try and get on the score sheet yesterday. I won that on Sunday. Players like Cantwell, he is somebody who is going to, he's confident enough as a goal was just got to set him through the roof, and that's what I want for Todd Cantwell, almost edging on the cockiness. David P, same question to you. Any changes for Sunday? And probably, I think we'll all kind of agree that we're happy with the team that started yesterday, but what we were speaking about with like Ryan Jack, is it for him? Do you maybe give him a rest, considering that he's made a chocolate at the best of times, or is there any other players you think are concerning that he'll maybe choose for fitness levels, he'll change?
Well, I think there are arguments for and against, aren't there? You know, because the Souter, you know, there are Kemar Roof, you know, there'll be people who you would say, like, let's get some minutes. But, Beale alluded to this at this press conference, that it's going to be difficult to beat. You have to establish within the squad that they need to understand that your selection for the next game will be based on your performance today in this game. So if he's going to do that, then the team that played last night is the team that plays on Sunday. So as long as they maintain that level of performance, then that's they're the first team picks. So as soon as it drops, surely that's where the competition thing kind of kicks in, so that players who know that when they're in the team and they don't perform, they'll be out the team. So that link between you playing and your performance has to maybe more established than it has been when we'll chop and change. So for that reason, and just alone, I would try and minimise the changes, if any, and go again with it with the guys who played last night and say, look, just, and I think he actually made the comment same again in the press, you know, for Sunday. And we would want to see the energy, because, I mean, at his press conference, after the game last night, it was just a list of, you know, praise for the team and the effort that they put in and the performance that they put in. So to reward that performance, you go straight back in on Sunday.
Definitely. And I thought that was very interesting. Even Lee Johnson, the Hibs manager, when he was asked about Hibs' performance, it was very much disappointed about how do you cope with Rangers. That was pretty much a message, and he's no wrong. Like, Hibs would have had to have played out their skin and then some to even be in the same level as Rangers beyond the 6 minute. So all we can really hope for is even a fraction of that for Sunday, and we're going to go through comfortably. That's us just approaching the hour mark, gents. I think that's as good a time to wrap it up as always. It's been a fairly positive pod, no one that we always get this season, so thank you and indulging us. Just before we wrap up, a massive thank you to all the listeners and people who are watching live, people who will be listening to this on Friday morning. We do really appreciate your support. If you do want to become a member, pound a month, then you can do it on Apple, Spotify or YouTube. If you don't, if you can find us a like, a follow on Twitter, even a subscribe on YouTube, it's not everybody is in a position to part with money, that's great, but even if you can find us a like, it really helps the podcast grow, and we do appreciate everybody tuning in. So gents, I'm going to press you for a goodbye to the listeners, and as always, a prediction for Sunday. Kick us off, Davey T. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and thanks for all the listeners that come and listen to us. I want to go on. I hope Fashion Sakala doesn't try one of the butterfly kicks, because I think he'll probably end up breaking his neck. It's great being on. Great talking about the Rangers. It was a great win, and still buzzing. Can't wait for the next game now. That's what you get when your confidence is up. Can't wait for the next game, and that's what I've got now.
Andy, it was good doing my first pod with you. I'm so glad you've come on after a win, because I did really feel guilty, but thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really enjoying the podcast. I can't say I'm surprised by the amount of support you get, because it's the Rangers family. It's the best group of supporters in the land. Again, we can all be sad together when we get beat, but when we're winning, it's always good to have 50,000 extra people pointing and laughing at the Hibs fans. So, long may it continue, and roll on Sunday.
And what's your prediction for Sunday?
Well, I would go out and say goals galore due to the golf and class based on last night. But there's a tiny, totally wee part of the back of the head that says, don't forget Partick Thistle. As long as the boys give them the amount of respect they deserve, then I'm sure we'll be fine. And I would go with all things going the way I hope they will go. With that amount of respect, I think you could see 4 or 5. I'll go for 5 now to the Gels.
I'll take it. Absolutely take it. And last but not least, Davey P, thanks for joining us as always, mate. What's your predictions for Sunday?
Just one wee observation just before I give you the prediction. Last night, the offside goal was significant in that when Tavernier, who's our right back, is on the shoulder of the last defender when that ball gets played through. I think it was just indicative of how positive the players were, last night across the board. As Andrew mentioned earlier, Conor Goldson stepping out of defence and getting themselves into the 18-yard box. You can see Tavernier was on the shoulder of the last defender to take that ball through when he's got no right to be there. And Borna Barisic, cutting on, trying to keeps chopping in and getting it on his right foot, which eventually, trying to find a way to get it back onto his left foot. But that positivity, across the board was refreshing to see. And as for Sunday, I'm going for 4-0. Rangers, of course.
4-0 Rangers, I'll take it. I'm going to go. I'm feeling good, boys. I'm going to go 6-0. Rangers will be 5-0 up by 60 minutes, and then we'll make 5 changes again. I don't know. Maybe John Sewell will come on, score off your corner as well. Fuck it.
Score for a penalty.
Eh?
Scoring for a penalty.
Aye. Rangers home tie in the cup, they'll get a penalty. They'll probably get a dodgy VAR decision. It's just the way things are meant to be. But
is that after extra time?
Oh, man, I've seen enough extra time in the last 18 months to a day of my lifetime. So on that note, before I get civil PTSD, have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be back with you on Sunday. Take care.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.